Turn your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There was a truck driver sat down to eat at a restaurant, and while he was sitting there eating hamburger and french fries, some motorcycle gang drove in, three guys on big Harleys, and they walked in, and one of them grabbed the hamburger from the man and ate it, and the other guy grabbed the french fries, and the truck driver really didn't even acknowledge them. He just got up, paid his bill, and went out and drove off. And the waitress came to help those other men, and they said, "Well, that man wasn't much of a man, was he?" And she said, "Evidently not, but he wasn't much of a driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles as he left." You know, sometimes we're like that. We just want to take matters in our own hands. You know, we can solve the problem on our own. But we need the Lord's help. We've got to do it God's way. The book of Hebrews tells us that we're not restrained to all the Old Testament law. So the things that we have in Christ, it says, are better. We have direct relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So we don't have to hold on to all the Jewish sacrificial system, all the regulations that go with it. But Christ fulfilled the law. And through that we have salvation. Through that we have forgiveness. So our lives are changed because of Christ. That's the New Testament or the New Covenant with Jesus Christ. So as we begin reading, we'll start with verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. So the old way was the temple. They had a veil to separate the Holy of Holies, and only the priest could enter through that veil on that special day of year. But now the veil's rent, and we have direct access. But the veil is referred to as Christ, because he was crucified, in that sense was torn on Calvary. So now, because he was crucified, we have direct access. And having an high priest over the house of God, there's going to be four "let us" statements. The last one has two parts to it. And I would encourage you to underline that in your Bible. There's nothing wrong with marking and underlining things in your Bible. It's just paper. But it's certainly helpful to remember certain things that is have certain things stand out. So verse 22 said, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So as we see how important it is for us to draw near, verse 22 said, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we can draw near to Christ because he shed his blood at Calvary. It's through the blood of Christ. We have a lot of songs that refer to the blood. Normally, you'd think that's a bad thing. You know, that speaks of death or disease. But it's through his dying, through the shedding of his blood, that we have forgiveness. That's the blood of the Lamb that covered the sin in the Old Testament that takes away sin in the New Testament through the blood of Christ. So he created a new way that we can draw near to him. If you're saved, if you're born again, we have access. That means he invites us into his presence so that we are in a new relationship. Now, I realize every day you don't feel like you're on top of the world and you don't feel like God is close to you. But boy, there are some times it seems like he's right there. His presence is there. And that's a wonderful time when we know and sense his presence. Boy, when I got saved, there was no doubt God was there. Boy, tomorrow, as I mentioned this morning, tomorrow was 48 years ago, tomorrow, when I trusted the Lord as my Savior. I want to tell you something. I knew God was there when I got saved. We have access. He invites us to his presence. And it goes on to say we can come in a confident way, sincerely, but in a confident way with faith, because our sins have been cleansed. So let us draw near. You know, this plural pronoun, let us. We need to, all believers, all who know the Lord, let us draw near unto him. James says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near or nigh to you. So as we draw closer to the Lord draws closer to us. It's a special relationship. So it's not a matter of just, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. No, it's, I have a relationship, and I want to be close to the Lord. I want his presence, his power. I want him to help guide me through every day. So he will draw nigh or near unto us. So how do we draw near unto the Lord? We stop every day. We start the day with prayer, the Bible, the Word of God. We think of him during the day. We look for opportunities to witness for him. But we practice the presence of Christ. We can think every day, what would Jesus do? How does he want me to act? And we can be in a state of prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So we can draw near to the Lord by our actions, by what we do. We ought not to be afraid of that relationship with the Lord. I know sometimes people get out of the will of God, the last place they want to be is in church. But it's the very place they ought to be, because if they'll do that, force themselves, they come, they realize the Lord is here. The Lord is meeting my need. I need to follow through with that. And the more they stay away, the farther they get from God. And so it's a downward spiral. Sometimes people, you tell them, yeah, you bite the bullet and get back in church. Just do what's right. Many times people have told me, oh, the greatest time in our lives when our family was in church. Oh, I'm thankful for those days. Well, why aren't you there now? If that was so great, why aren't you there now? See, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, but the opposite is true. If we fall away from God, then he's not near us. We have access directly to the presence of God. It says we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. So let us draw near unto God. Verse 23. Then it says, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. So we should hold fast our profession of faith. So how do we do that? What is our hope? You know, the idea of our profession is the idea of confession. It is a relationship. And it really, you might use the word hope. And there's a lot of verses that talk about hope. So that Christians have hope. The idea is we have something for which to live tomorrow. God has a purpose in our lives. There is that hope. You know, there is that blessed hope. We look forward to that day when the Lord comes back again. But there's hope right now. When a person loses hope, they lose the very purpose of living. You know, they just go through day to day. So we, as Christians, can have hope. So what is hope? Well, sometimes we think it's just you know, hear the world say, well, it's just something that's on my wish list. You know, the young ladies used to have something called a hope chest that someday they'd get married. They'd keep all the stuff they might need, like a pressure cooker, maybe other things. Not a pressure cooker, but other stuff that they might need when they get married. So they have this hope chest that maybe, or I wish that maybe I'll get married someday, but that's not what hope is. Hope is a certainty. You know, it's like if you get a cashier's check from a bank, it's good. It's as good as cash, although it's not cash. It's a, you know, it's a bank check or a cashier's check. And it's good. It's like a title deed for a piece of property. Once you have that title deed, you own it. Even though you may not be on it, you may not live in it, you own it. And that's the way hope is. It's a surety. It's a trust. It's what we know is going to happen. It's a sure thing. And having that hope means we are confident. I know it's all in God's hands. Once again, we think about all that's going on, the layoffs and the shutdown, the social distancing, and all the deaths and things that are occurring worldwide. And you think, boy, you know, there's a lot to worry about. But as a Christian, we have hope. We just have a trust that God's in control.
Right.
Not worried about that. He is in control. Amen. And I can trust him. That is our hope. So everything God has promised will happen. And I can trust in that.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3. Turn there with me. We're going to turn to, and keep your place in Hebrews. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So we have the riches of his glory. The inner man is strengthened by his spirit. He dwells in our heart by faith. There is something that is in us that we live by this hope. We trust in him. We trust in God. So we are in the house of God. We are in a place that where he can bless us. So our hope is found in him through the inner man, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is confident that we have salvation in him. When you're saved and born again, you have eternal life. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Hebrews 6, 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we are confident. Our hope is not just a guess that sometimes you witness to people and you say, are you a Christian? If you die now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Sometimes they'll answer, well, I hope so. Well, that's not the kind of hope we have in salvation.
That's right.
When I got married, I didn't say, I hope we're married. I mean, there was a day, a time, you know, you have to remember the anniversary date. That's important. Now that there was a day and time when I was born at May 16, 1953. By the way, there's just about 2.5 weeks of shopping days left before my birthday. But May the 16th, I was born that morning. It happened. There's no doubt about it. There was a time when you were born. And there was a time when you get saved. There's a day and an hour and a time. Now we have that hope. We are sure why we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So that hope is grounded in the salvation that he gives us. That's why today we have that hope and look forward to the day that Christ comes. Look forward to the day that we'll be with him. What a day that will be. What is our hope? We're confident that Jesus has given us a better covenant than the Old Testament sacrificial system. If you follow me in Hebrews 7 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. So the New Testament, New Covenant, our salvation is a new hope by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What is our hope? It is the covenant through Jesus Christ. He has a better plan. Amen. Free forgiveness. Everybody that comes to him, there's cleansing. Are you washed in the blood? If you're washed in the blood, then your sin is covered and it's washed away. Hebrews 8 and verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And if you go down to verse 12, it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." So what is our hope? The great hope and the confidence that we have, our sins are gone. Our sins are forgiven. Like, don't you like the song, "Gone, gone, gone, gone"? You know, "Praise God, my sins are gone." The children's song, but it's a great song. Our sins are gone. That's the hope that we have. If we didn't have that hope, then we would have the guilt of all of our sin. And we would have the consequence of having to pay for that sin. But because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that sin is cleansed. It's forgiven. What is our hope? Our hope is all that God has promised. Going all the way back to the patriarchs, that even Noah and Abraham and Jacob, all his promises of an eternal home, eternal rest, we have a home prepared for us as well. So all those promises that he gives to every believer, we can have peace with God and we have the peace of God. We can have the joy of Christ every single day. Why? We have his presence. So that is the hope we have. He lives within. He's in our heart, our mind, and every day his presence goes with us. We just take the time to acknowledge that. Go over to Hebrews 11 and verse 39. Hebrews 11. Verse 39. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Our hope, our confident expectation, is that God will freely give us everything he promised that he would give us. We can count on it. It's as good as if we already received it. Amen. Listen tonight, if there's something that has not worked out for you, you think, you know, my job's not working out, maybe I have problems at home or family or children or parents, or maybe there's some physical thing and you think, well, it's not working out for me. Just keep in mind the confidence and the hope we have is in the promise of God. And the promises are not for everything that's going to work out for us and that we're happy every minute of every second. Our confidence is in the fact that our sins are forgiven, we have a home in heaven, that he'll be with us. So if our hope is in the right things, we're encouraged by that. We'll not allow the circumstances of life to take us down and discourage us and cause us to be in neutral. Far too many Christians get hurt or struggle or have problems and trials, and they just become numb. They're neutral. You're putting your hope in the wrong thing. Put your hope in Christ and what he promises. In the promises of God, he'll meet those needs. He'll strengthen, he'll guide you. It may not work out exactly the way you want it to work out, but he will work it out for his good and glory and for our benefit ultimately. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So we can encourage one another, help one another, love one another. That's why we meet together. That's why people are anxious. They're biting at the bit to say, well, I want to get back to church. I miss being in church. Why? There's something about being together that we encourage one another. It's a blessing to fellowship with one another, to talk to one another, help one another, pray for one another. As we consider all the things going on in the world, there's a lot of distractions. But nothing is more important than our fellowship through the local church. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So that's how we consider one another and help one another and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So how can or why can we hope? Because God is faithful. The Bible says that God who cannot lie. Well, he said he would be faithful and he can't lie, so we can trust him. Hebrews 6:18 tells us he cannot lie. Verse 22, he said, we have full assurance of faith. So God gives us every reason to believe in his word. If our expectations are on the things of the world, on our own pleasure, our hope's in the wrong thing. But if our trust is in him, for his will to be done, for him to use us, it's amazing how God will bless us. If there's someone that's kind of gotten sideways or discouraged or distraught, put your hope in him. Just trust him. Don't run from him, run to him. And ask him for help and strength. Here's what will happen. God will strengthen you. He'll open up doors you never thought possible. Amen. But if you hide and run, you get discouraged, you're not going to find that joy and peace. We put our hope in him. We trust in him. In the Gospels, we find recorded the story of Jesus telling his disciples that as they got into a boat, he said, go to the other side. But a storm came up. They found Jesus walking on the water. And at first they thought he was a ghost, and then Peter said, if you be Christ, you know, bid me come unto you. And he came unto him, and then he started to sing. It was an illustration to the disciples. I told you to go the other side. You're going to go the other side because I told you to go there. But somehow we forget when the waves come, we start to sink. We forget the promise of God. He told them to do that. He asked them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? We have to ask ourselves that question. Where is our faith? If we trust in our feelings, we're not going to feel saved very often. If we trust in our feelings, we're not going to have the joy and peace of God all the time. We have to trust in the Word of God and not allow the circumstances of life to determine how we feel. But just trust in God and determine that's what's important. Faith is a matter of will and heart. I'm just going to trust God. Amen. I will depend on him and what he tells me. When we trust in God, we find joy and peace, direction for our lives. It's a whole lot better to live that way than to be in fear, be distraught, discouraged. Our hope is in him. Let us have hope in him. Let's bow for prayer.